It belonged not indeed directly to my mission to keep after the robbers who did neighborhood unsafe, but the adventure attracted me. I fitted a small crowd for this expedition and took myself in command of the same. With the farmer as guide, we went on search of those peace disturbers. It was especially the large regions towards Avricum or Bourges, which proved unsafe. There had several assaults occurred on traders with carriages, and onto single passers. I let some of my people disguise themselves to go in distance in front, hired some big rattling carts and went with them the way forward, but inside the wagons was I and the rest of my squad hidden. My list was crowned with success. One night we were attacked by a handful of robbers rushed out of an ambush. But before they had time to us harm, were they overpowered and tied. The thing now was to find out their horns. I picked out one of the prisoners as guide and told him in the presence of others, that if he showed us the right path to their nest, he would get freedom, if not, I would with his severed head turn back to the other prisoners and choose another to follow me, all with the same penalties and risk. He thought apparently lead us astray, finally he was himself confused, and the bluff cost him the life. But his severed head put fear into the other prisoners, and the next I chose as guide led us through narrow valleys and wooded areas where we never have been able to find the way, until reaching the robbers' camp. It surrounded and after a short battle which cost a couple of our opponents' life, they were overpowered and tied behind their backs. Only one of them, who kept watch at the entrance of a cave, struggled yet with superhuman strength against two of my men, one of which already bleeding from deep wounds. I hurried to and arose between us a duel that ended with I felled him dead to the ground. I myself was, however, badly wounded and was worn by my men into the cave to be connected. Here we met a strange sight, lighted from an opening in the roof of the cave. Huddled against the rock wall sat an elderly woman, and a few half-grown children, only wrapped in miserable rags. Behind some stacked barrels sat a young woman with frightened countenance. A goat and a couple of kids ran bleating about. The farmer, who followed us all the time, came into the cave, found his daughter behind the barrels and screamed with joy. She fell on his neck and wept. The old man, who was a little skilled in medicine, bandaged my wounds, a deep cut in the left arm which, however, was not of dangerous condition. His daughter helped him. She tore off her underwear a long strip and erected with much affection and habit a dressing so that blood stopped. Apparently it was not the first time the old man and his daughter nursed wounded people. She was so captivating, the beautiful Livia, where she was leaning over me, busy with her tender care. Her black curls fell on my chest and on my arm, I felt the warm breath from her mouth. It was an indescribably pleasant feeling to lie so the powerless and enjoy her care, so I was taken by invisible powers, for the first time, together with the woman who for several coming lives would intervene so deeply in my destiny. Even him who lay death outside of the opening of the cave, I would meet again, life after life, as my, after revenge, thirsting rival. How little did I know that time of this, when I was nursed. That I was married to Livia, and with her lived many happy years, first in our field camp at Rain and then in Rome, where I after some time was called to be, is all I further have to say about this incarnation. No, not all. I cannot forget to mention that I in this life had a mother that I was much connected to. She had nursed me through childhood and youth with a love and tenderness that even today, a millennium and a half later, can make tears in my eyes. She was close to despair when she heard that I had enlisted and be sent out into the war field. So much happier she was, when I came back again and had to stay in Rome. But my wife she could never learn to understand. Very different was the also their temperament and disposition. My mother was still and smooth, she was like a lake that does not upset by any storms, but always reflect the sky. My wife, however, was of a lively and edgy humor. But so she could also be so captivating sweet, so tender and loving. She was the rushing river at times throwing cascades of foam, but between that, could be deep and clear. It was however, Not only this difference that caused the distance between these women. I felt at times as if my mother did not really wish any else to steer me. My own dear mother, even her, I have seen, met again, first as my sister Viola in Savoy and then in my last earthly life, when I once again had the good fortune to be born as her son. Still one word. I was happy with Livia. Actually, was this my first intercourse with her, happier than any of the following. There was only one dark spot between us as never was cleared up. It was her life in the cave with the man I killed outside the cave. She never wanted to talk about that time. If I tried with my questions to penetrate into this mystery, she became silent, but her eyes shot fiery flashes out against something strange that the memory evoked. Whether it was love or hate in this gaze, I could never fathom. So far I have only portrayed my walk on the earth during various periods, not mine free life in the world that lies above the earth, the world in which I now find myself. And it could be written a book many times larger than this small, but I have not dared the task. I feel that it would exceed my ability to give an true or real corresponding image of the rich life I here between my earth lives have undergone. A life also of painful self-examination, of interesting studies, the dedicated work by my small forces in the service of good. Others can do that better than I, as I've seen too difficult. I must forbear that. But not quite. It is a small, recently experienced event, a meeting, I would describe as a conclusion to my story. After each ended earthly life, I have always, as soon as I furthermore have had occasion, visited her, in spite of all what we have done to each other of evil, however, have become a part of my own being. Here in our true homeland, we have, better than on earth, been able to understand each other. Here we have come closer to each other. Here we have promised each other the faithfulness, loyalty, the fidelity, that on the earth proved to be so fragile. But we had before our last earth lives, never yet had an opportunity to overlook and watch together, all of our series of lives. It was only the very last that was the subject of our thought exchanges. Since I finished my last earthly life, I was taken by my guardian spirit and leaders here into this archive, where so many individuals, and I, among others, have gathered our notes over past lives, and now he, the guardian spirit, gave me the key to all of them, many more than those I outlined here. In the crisp lighting of this self-look, I also have this time completed the embarrassing but instructive duty to describe my past life. Not just the sketchy outline of external events such as this one, but a detailed examination of the motives, thoughts and emotions, weak and betrayed duties, of intentions and failures. When it was done, I asked to seek up Cecilia, as I now longed violently after her. But I did not have to search, it was she who came to meet me. Although she had also longed to see me, and when she knew that she had not bothered me in my work, she came with a touching shyness and greeted me. I omit her penitent confession of everything that was about her flight and her gradual debasement and the depiction of her final illness in the hospital in Vienna. She had suffered herself free from these gloomy memories, and was now the happy and beautiful character, as I remembered her from her best moments during the four life we wandered together on earth. She was so adorable sweet. It was as if all of the innocence that has been supplanted on the bottom of her soul now came forth, as the passions was let out and so burn all that had prevented her spiritual growth. Now I felt that we belonged to each other for time and eternity, now the third no longer needed to interfere in our relationship. He was forever removed. He had fulfilled his duty towards us, to be the means or karmic tool, by which our senses hardened themselves clean and strong. Since we now for long and familiarly talked about all the details from our last earthly life, I opened for her the book about our earliest life together on earth. Then I was Claudius and she was Livia. Memories, as in her legacy had been deeply buried, now showed up and took shape. She watched the bandits' assault on her father's farm and his own shameful captivity in the cave. "Tell me, Cecilia, something I never understood," I said. Did you feel something different and more for this man, merely than the hatred that was so justified? Then I was not powerful enough to find way of conflicting emotions that stormed into my breast, she said, but when I now scrutinize them, some more than 1,500 years later, I would like say, that he Gallic robber with the strange deep eyes, the tight shut mouth and the protruding nostrils, I see him so clearly to me, had a marvelous alluring power when he wanted to use it. It is said that snakes have such a magic power in their eyes, that they may have small birds to fall into their open mouth. Some of this fascination might was what he possessed, he Lota. Just with his eyes, which at times could be tender and caressing, sometimes threatening imperious, he got me to anything. I was completely under his fascinating influence, as long as I was in his presence. And the remarkable thing was that I might as well, when he took me to his chest, felt something of the intoxication as the child of nature so easily understood as love luck. But he was not well out my sight until I was seized by a lead and loathing that bordered on hatred. How terrible I then felt, you cannot imagine. The tragedy of my predicament was that I knew how I would come to tremble before his eyes, when he reappeared, and how I would crave for a tenderness, and even after a stroke of him. Only not his indifference, it could bring me into despair. If he stayed long gone, then grew my hatred for this man so that I thought myself in a position to assassinate him when he came back, but when he re-entered in his miserable hut and threw his coat for me, I took it in my arms, turned and kissed it, so no one saw it. When he was gone, I was so closely guarded that an escape then had been impossible, but when he was at home, I noticed that watcher over me was retracted. It had not been necessary, he felt his magic power over me. So I lived in nearly a year in the most terrible friction between emotions, whose right value not I could appreciate. I should be a mother and the thought filled me sometimes with joy, then of despair, but the children I gave birth was malformed and died shortly after birth. I have my suspicions that Lota strangled his little son. What I at all times, and especially during my illness, suffered by the other and her half-grown children, I do not want to talk about. She had been beautiful, but she was several years older than he. Now she was overlooked, ducked, despised, a victim to all the bitterness a woman in her position is to entertain. She had her unique sleeping in another and more narrow cave, but the days she walked in and out of that which would be called my home. Oh God, what a humiliation and disgrace I lived in! At last you came, my liberator. I sat in a corner and heard the sound of swords, my whole being shook in the most dreadful anxiety. What would happen now? Would I be dragged out and killed? But then they carried you in, and so came my father. I was saved. It is wonderful how living this critical moment etched into my memory, it's so that I can still shake with fear when I think about it. We then lived long happy years together, I said, but you never wanted to hear me talk on him, Lota. If I ever asked you about him, your eyes shot lightning. Can you remind you what you thought at such times? It was so strange, it came upon me a fear that he would not be dead, that he could come back and get me, and I fought already within me against the submission which I felt. He also really came to pick up. See here. I opened the next book and read to her descriptions of Bertrand and Alice's life in Provence. It's funny how I always forcibly is torn between both of you, she said after a moment. I never got to be myself. When you against my will, yes without even asking for my consent, took me as bride and carried me away to a foreign place, you choked something within me, as if it had been in calm and happy circumstances, had been able to grow up to the warm feeling for you as was lying sleeping in my being. Now it never came out to bloom. Pale and haggard as a herb, which grows under a fallen log in the woods, marked of the pressure it carries. When Marcel came with the glow in his eyes, it was he who was the liberator and I fell into his arms in the old rock cavity in Auvergne. Yes, that time it was my puny arrogance that ruled me so blindly that I thought me be the irresistible, that only needed to see me in my chivalric glory and my chivalrous manners to all resistance would succumb to. Your refusal to kiss the winner at fight, combat in Avignon, was a death blow to my imaginary greatness, but in my simplicity I seemed to heal the damage by forcing you to be my wife, without asking about your desire. I needed a stronger lesson and I got it. Then you are in the midst of festival frenzy, let yourself be carried away by a road knight. Now awakened in me something of my better self. True, it was such a low esteem in retaliation desire that drove me to that, but I then entered the pilgrimage to seek you, then swept within me to move away all conceited dreams of my knightly honor, it put me so to speak, back on track. I found you too, and I quench my thirst for vengeance. Yes, blessed be you for the effort. You should know that there was a hell, you that time saved me from. The old thief sat still in him, he robbed and he desecrated, but now had there too come up something disgusting in him, he drank. It was, thus, the second time he fell for your hand. She sat silent for a moment as if she was pondering over something. Did he not thereby got a power to hurt you in the next life, for you met again after what you just suggested? Hardly. He laid plans for my life, but had not the power to pursue them. Now I read to her from the third book of our lives in Savoy, where she was Anita and I Antonio. Yes, now I see the entire picture collection from this time, to show past my mind's eye, she said. Although you took me against my will, but you saved me also from him, has then tempted me with his gold. His former lust, he had by his former vicious life lost. How little I knew then, to appreciate what you were for me. The force you used against me, the person, I promised my faith, aroused in me a defiance that I never felt before. I followed you because there was something in me that drew me to you, but my inclination and my despite was in constant dispute with one another. It was a broken life I took, and then since the accident hit you, I was so terrified that I was hardly accountable for my actions. I had not the courage to face you again, because of that, I took my life. Yes, it's bleak memories we have from that time. But what me concerned, I think I understand the Providential's purpose in the disapproval fate that then hit me. I had through the many misdeeds of my previous lives, sustained to me these sufferings, but they got me also useful, first in the prison time, then the long loneliness in the wilderness and finally the beneficent stillness of a monastery, enabled a breakthrough in my character. The tough, the wild, the pugnacious in me, had played out its role, and gave way to a more introspective contemplative life. I became more sensitive to the sufferings of others, and my vision was opened to the beauty of nature, and I have especially the forest's silence for this to thank. It was as if the sense of herbs and trees had healed my wounds and drove out the bitterness that lay gnawed my life root. Yes, you was much altered, when we met the last time, but Anita had no spiritual treasures to give as an inheritance to Cecilia. The only thing she brought was a sickly, almost hysterical temperament, which from what I now understand, was the natural consequence of my desperate act to take my life. Additionally, in me woke the old defiance again. I had a vague feeling that I never really got to be myself. This time I had still voluntarily made my choice, but once I was bound, I felt like a fetter compulsion that I was ready to shake off. You were tough and over-affectionate, but with me had vague feelings and hidden instincts awakened, who demanded to test their strength. I dreamed of to crumble my own mind and I got it. When you went off to war, it was as a band had released, I imagined that your feeling was burned out, you should seek and find death on the battlefield. Well, what could not my mind find of hysterical imagination? When then the tempter came, this time as the consoling friend, went to my tearful cheek against his breasts. But Fritz, you dear, the course I then had to undergo has healed me completely. I feel it. The humiliation I lived in was a hard school, but it has opened my eyes both the third's true nature and for my own being flaws. But even more, they has shown me what treasure it was I left when I threw myself into the hands of robbers. It has showed me the way back to you, you are my only love. Let me follow you. Now, willing and able, I make you happy. Cecilia, you know what I think? You are my dual spirit, my soulmate. The end. http://galactic.no/rune/live.2.htm